SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website too, stevebick.com. I guess I could have said a very good morning, very good Tuesday morning, two-year-old training sale buyers, and the activity going on this morning, and there's activity going on right on my phone. I will warn everybody that it gets involved. You know, you you get involved in the game, and you find it irresistible, I got to say. And, you know, the conversation yesterday with Tom Ventura, and because those pesky sales companies, they keep sending these catalogs. They keep sending the catalogs to you, and so next thing you know, you're looking through the catalogs, and you're you're getting interested. Take an interest, right? Yeah. So it doesn't take much to get excited about. Some of the, you start watching the Breeze show, you start looking at the catalog pages. Oh, this one, oh, got an update, etc. You get excited, and you fold in, you know, what is a reasonable expectation about the sale in general, which is, you know, there's, you know, going to be a limited amount of you know, active live in-person buyers. And, you know, the international buyers are a little hamstrung, unable to, you know, for the most part, make the trip. They might have agents domestically. And, you know, there's certainly, you know, the ease of access, you know, starting with really with this sale, with, you know, what we sent out yesterday, and I hope some people registered with OBS and are going to be active participants. And so, you know, as they say, you gotta have a two-year-old in the barn to to keep hope alive. So, yeah, I think there may be one tomorrow that may have caught our tomorrow or. Might actually be Thursday. I think it's Thursday. Yeah, Thursday. So we'll keep you in the loop. All right. there is some things that and of course coverage. One thing about the sale, and because Ocala is a little on the on the remote side to a degree. The sales coverage is going to be seemingly remote, and everybody kind of covering it from afar. But one topic that is easy to delve into as part of the sale are the first crop stallion produce that will obviously be closely watched. And Eric Mitchell at Bloodhorse actually did a fun exercise, and he took the first two-year-olds of the, I think, 22, I believe, stallions that are 28 that are represented, and averaged out their quarter mile and eighth of a mile breeze times. And, you know, for those that haven't yet looked ahead to this. There's been some buzz already, of course, about some of the runners that have been out. Not this time, has got the two winners early here. But, the names you're going to hear, both sales-wise and as the spring comes into summer and more of these two-year-olds start, getting distributed, these horses will move to barns and it'll take, 30 days. I mean, we've had this discussion over the years with many trainers. Some will let the air out of the balloon a little bit and let them sort of decompress. The two-year-old in sale process is intense. There's the added factor this year, of course, of the extra time a lot of these horses were in training, and that isn't necessarily a bad thing. There's some that, had the usual baby issue, shins and whatnot, that, people paused on. They might not have been ready for, March and April sales anyhow. So this is going to be a benefit to many. And of course, there's also the ones that just are going to benefit from growth that are going to be slightly different. I mean, they're growing nonstop pretty much at this time. So it'll be very interesting to see, how the buyers view these horses and, who catches a wave, because somebody always does. But for those that haven't seen the new sires that are sending out the two-year-olds through the ring starting in about an hour, Air Force Blue, Anchor Down, Brody's Cause, California Chrome, Cinco Charlie, FNX, the poor FNX, Exaggerator, Flincher, Frosted, it's got plenty of buzz, Ironicus, Jess's Dream, pretty interesting. Yeah, and one notable thing is all of the Jess's Dreams breezed a quarter mile. Leoban, Mishwish, Not This Time, Nyquist, Outwork, Run Happy, Spitester, Tamarcus, Tourist, Upstart, and Vancouver, the Australian bred. So, those that like to watch this topic, they will enjoy the next 4 days. And, of course, you can watch the sale pretty much everywhere. OBSSales.com, first and foremost, and especially if you're going to be watching it through the sales app and sales format, but DRF streams it, and so does Blood Horse. I mean, it's everywhere. So looking forward to it, and we'll get, certainly tomorrow we'll get a day one report and some initial reaction from Sid. And one of the things I'd love to do at this time, the TDN publishes their pinhook guide every day at the sale, and you get the list of, previously purchased yearlings, weanlings, whatever it was, and now, going back through the ring. So you get a chance to see the home runs among the pinhooks. So 10 o'clock, we'll keep an eye. There might be some early fireworks. One of the things that, I think is anticipated when you read, most of the coverage and, most of the quotes from consigners and prospective buyers, the top end will be the top end. It just doesn't seem to be any stopping that. But it'll be notable. I mean, there will be some unbelievable bargains that'll be looked back on at the end of the year or next year when they're three-year-olds and so forth, because it's just impossible that, given the circumstance, there aren't some horses that will, undersell that. And there's also, it's also notable to watch the RNAs and see, who takes their horses home and races them. Not everybody, is going to, take the price at hand. They put in a reserve. But in some cases, not all, some are sold without reserve. And there's plenty of people that aren't going to just give away their horse. If they've got that option, you know, there's plenty of people that, you know, will take on partners and race. So very important and interesting 4 days ahead. That's the bottom line. We've got 3 hours ahead. That'll include some gavel knocking watching. But we've got some fun conversations set up too. And Steve Asmussen is going to visit, and didn't get a chance to talk to and reach for Steve yesterday. And I'm actually in some way, glad I did, because later today at Lone Star Park, and Lone Star off to a very nice start, and the new landscape that's been refashioned essentially in Texas with what they, that clever sales tax gambit that they put together, which really, you know, anything equine related, anything that generates money in the equine arena, the sales tax has been diverted, you know, back to the racing industry, and it's really provided a boost. And I mean, when you look at the kinds of horses, and Asmussen's a great example, the kind of horses that Steve Asmussen has kept in the Southwest, you know, as opposed to sending them up to Churchill. Well, look no further than today, where Fortune Ticket makes a second career start. And Fortune Ticket, pretty notable as a Candy Ride colt out of Quiet Giant, the Three Chimneys homebred, is a full brother to Gunrunner. Yeah. So he debuted at Fairgrounds in March, you might recall, and really didn't get involved. And so the Asmussen team has had some time to work with him, and he shows up at Lone Star today, and he's not the favorite. He's 6-1. Brett Calhoun's got a favorite down inside, Bandit Swanson. But we'll get an update from Steve. And, you know, the principal call to Steve Asmussen is the performance of Volatile on Saturday, which people are still talking about and rewatching. I mean, just like a rocket ship downhill, snowball like an avalanche, just gaining momentum. That's what it looked like. It was one of those, you know, tremendous machine moments. The horse that kind of gaining energy as they go. So we'll get some thoughts from him about Volatile and, you know, where they go from here. And I've got a couple of other, you know, there's been a handful of performances out of the Asmussen barn. There is the closely related filly, Casual. Casual out of Lady Tack. And, of course, Volatile's dam, Melody Lady, is a daughter of Lady Tack. And so, you know, in the barn, they've got, you know, these two that are cousins, and Casual with another win that has kind of gone under the radar a little bit. So anxious to catch up with Steve on those. Plus, you know, some of the early 2-year-old winners that the barn has been producing already, and you know, that was a Cavazzato. That's an annoying name. Cazadero. There we go. I knew I was close. Cazadero and Cowan, we want to ask about as well. So the 2-year-olds already, you know, the train is already up and running on the Asmussen barn when it comes to the 2-year-olds. Not surprisingly, Ian Wilkes will join us as well, and we'll talk to Ian about a few winners from the weekend. Four Graces, of course, won the Dogwood, and in addition, Ian, actually, over the last, I don't know, week or so, there were a couple of other, I noticed every couple of days, it seemed, that Ian, and earlier on the card, he had Gentle Ruler, who we've talked about with Ian Wilkes, as well. So we'll catch up with Ian. There was one other. I've got it. You know, I always put to the side the, you know, interesting performers and with the, you know, idea that, and then if somebody, when somebody pops, well, then you've got it close at hand. Of course, this also results in in hoarding. Yeah, about twice a year we de-hoard. There was also, yeah, the other day, counter offer too, I want to ask about. That was the race where Rich Yang, and Rich gave you two good horses on Thursday last week. There was the early winner, the Dragon Horse, that paid $13. And then Dak Janiels ran very well, got overwhelmed late by counter offer. But 14-1, Dak Janiels held third. So if you had a little support there, if you threw Dak Janiels in with the rest of your ideas, it might have boosted. Actually, it paid. That was a juicy set of horses, because the favorites, the first four choices were off the board. Yeah, you had 13-2, 19-1, 14-1, and it was Ian Wilkes for six columns with counteroffer. Tapazar Gelding came a flying under Julien Leperoux. We'll talk to Andrew Offerman. Canterbury kicks off tomorrow, and the 10% takeout, pick five, hope it's going to be a sensation and a huge hit for them. They absolutely, you know, after the experiment, talked about this yesterday, talked about what they did, what they tried to do, Randy Sampson and Canterbury, what they tried to do with a, you know, takeout reduction experiment. This should be a target wager, 10%. We got to get back with Eric Hallstrom too at Indiana. See if Indiana's going to now, you know, they had that 11.99% you know, concept. See if they're going to come back with a, you know, 9.99%. Canterbury kind of, that was a chop block. Personal foul. The chop block. We'll talk to Andrew about getting the season going, and they resume at Fairmont today. Jim Watkins from the Illinois HBPA. Plus, we got news about Illinois that's not good. Andy Serling later. Hour three and more. We'll stick in a couple of other tidbits. Back after this at the races, Sirius XM.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice. Voices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Since I haven't talked to you, I dream about your baby blues and wonder why you stopped getting high. Even though we were just friends, I think of us as bookends and I'm gonna love you till I going to heaven, and that I'm going to hell, and that I'm gonna keep on dancing till I hear that ringing bell. Head's gonna roll, baby. Everybody's gotta pay that toll.
We're back at the races. It's Jenny Lewis. If you're curious, head's going to roll. Really good. It just occurs to me. There's also my the other head's going to roll that I love. Maybe it's a theme. All right. Well, we're reaching for Steve Asmussen. And got to talk to him about a bunch of interesting starters coming up. He's got a sequence of, you know, seemingly important horses, including, I noticed this morning when I was going through the Belmont, upcoming Belmont Thursday, Chestertown comes back. Chestertown, speaking of expensive purchases, seventh race on Thursday? Yeah, seventh race on Thursday, and the $2 million Tappet colt out of Artemis Agraterra. Mile and a 16th, back against Statebreds. After, you know, kind of an even, he didn't run terribly in the Louisiana Derby at all, and take advantage of the New York breeding and send him back to New York, where Toby Sheets will send him out. Steve Asmussen joins us, and the first order of business, Steve, is to congratulate on Volatile's just jaw-dropping effort on Saturday in the Aristides. That was unbelievable.
Well, thank you very much. That was fun to witness.
You know, we talked about him, and, you know, as you know, as the train was leaving the station, and you know, it seemed like there was, you know, plenty of talent. That was not a question. Talk about how he's come along, and you know, only his fifth career start, stakes debut. You know, this one's got kind of a theme that you've developed of late with, you know, 4-year-olds kind of emerging at this time of year.
He's a tremendous talent, you know, and very thankful for the patience that Mr. Torrey Alva and Three Chimneys, as well as Phoenix, have showed in him. We've always had a great amount of faith in his ability, and I think what we witnessed Saturday is that potential. Obviously, securing a stakes win with him at this stage, he is now a stakes winner. We are I'm very pleased with how he came out of the race and expect him to be upper echelon the rest of the year as far as sprint races are concerned.
When you see a horse do this kind of thing, you know he's a talent, you know he's got a lot of ability. When they run a race like this, a 112 buyer, and just, you know, seemingly was gaining momentum as the race rolled out. I mean, as you're watching, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, for me, it's just one of the most impressive performances I've ever had as a trainer was Lady Tax Test and the sort of acceleration she showed off the turn that day. And I think what you know, he was... They were going fast, but he was very comfortable. He was in the hand. He was away from the gates cleanly. He was, you know, maybe a touch wider than ideal, but he was very comfortable where he was. When the Chad Brown horse got through at the head of the stretch, you saw Ricardo ask for acceleration, and that was two or three jumps there where he just looked like he spun out. He was going so fast. You rarely, if ever, we'll see that, let alone off of a 21 and change first quarter, you know. So yeah. it's the ability's there. We just need to keep him in that comfortable of a position, that sort of confidence, and space his races to make the most out of them.
Yeah, that's exactly, I mean, the way he powered away and then just was, you know, the momentum that
right.
took him, you know, down the stretch.
You're right. They were rolling along, and he was comfortable, and you liked it. And then when the Gaffleone shot the gap with the Klarovich horse at the quarter pole, he goosed him, and that sort of acceleration is rarely, if ever, seen.
Well, this was part of a incredible weekend for Hill and Dale, and between Volatile getting the stake win and turning in, you know, the top sprint performance of the year thus far, and Cezanne on the West Coast breaking the maiden on debut, and then the Kitten's Joy, you know, winning the 2,000 guineas, a big, big weekend for John Sakura and his team. The question, of course, Steve, is where do you go from here in terms of, you know, angling toward the fall?
I'm expecting Volatile's next race to be the Vanderbilt.
Nice. Turn toward Saratoga, and you know, he's obviously, you know, between the wins at Churchill and Ellis and Oaklawn, he obviously, you know, surface, he's not, you know, he doesn't have a surface preference, clearly, and
forward to having him to show the affinity to Saratoga that his grandma did. That's what I'm
there you go
counting on.
Well, on that topic, because Lady Tack, there's more than one Lady Tack relative in the barn, and before we talk about some of the bigger names, I'd love an update on Casual.
A very talented filly that is bred and owned by Hill and Dale, as you had mentioned, and sky's the limit for her. Breezed excellent this week. She is nominated towards to the Acorn if all goes well. after speaking with John and partners, that is a possibility.
That's nice. And you said we talked, it must have been before, you know, before pandemic, and I asked you how quickly she would face off against, you know, top level competition, and you, same with volatile, that you were going to, you know, kind of, you know, take your time and take advantage of conditions, and you know, kind of go from there.
Hers is being accelerated a bit, the stake schedule being adjusted how it has everywhere. You know, what opportunities we do have. No year has ever been like this one before as far as trying to schedule what traditionally would be next for that caliber of talent.
Well, and on that topic, we could touch on a couple of other, you know, performances. Tenfold ran incredibly, picked up another grade one placing.
Right. Talking about horses whose schedule have been adjusted. Obviously, we had planned on going back to the Pimlico Special with him. That changed. Felt that the Gold Cup, from the probables in the race, expected some pace. And then, obviously, when the sheriff's horse didn't leave as expected, I think he was very... Mike did a good job to get him in good enough position to be third in there with no more pace in the ratio.
Another to ask about too, because you had the stake win on Friday. Honey, I'm Good in that Harmony Lodge.
That's a great job by Toby. You know, beautiful little filly, really sweet temperament. He's just brought her along beautifully and kept her confidence up. Not real big in stature, filly, but she was spot on and ready to go out of the box and beat a very talented filly. It's a shame to beat horses of that caliber and you win an 80 listed, but that's the times we're in right now.
Yeah, that's it. And it seems like everybody's kind of wading into the action, and everybody knows that, you know, you're going to face thicker fields of good horses than you kind of would have under, you know, a traditional seasonal conditions, but that's okay.
Nobody running at all for a while will make you a little anxious coming out of the box.
You're right. Exactly. Well, Steve, rather than looking back, I want to look ahead a little bit, and you can talk about how you've adjusted and, you know, where you've moved the working parts. And, you know, later today at Lone Star, as they, you know, kind of really get things rolling, you're off to a big start there. Let's talk about Fortune Ticket, because here's a full brother to Gunrunner making a second start at Lone Star.
Right. You know, like you said, limited opportunities to race places where you're not, fortunate to be in, even if the race does go with all of the entries. But he is not his brother, but he's a solid horse that's going to do better from racing. He carries some extra weight, and the interruption in racing definitely set us back with him from a physical standpoint. You know, he's just a pretty thick horse, but expecting to run really well today.
Talk a little bit about what I'm sure for you and your owners is a very pleasant, you know, change in the landscape at Texas. We talked during the Sam Houston meet over the winter. The whole reinforcement of the purse structures in Texas seems to really have solidified things, and you can see it.
The money in Texas has come from taxes, from feed and supplies, from horses. So, ironically, I think that is, they are not affected by every casino shutting down. That kind of should be a pretty good lesson for all of us going forward on what we're dependent upon. You see the casino-owned racetracks is closing and not opening the racetrack because they're worried about losing money. I don't think any of them owners that were feeding all them horses when they weren't allowed to run were given the same considerations that the commissions have been giving these gaming companies that pretend to be racetrack owners.
Well, and the benefit is that, you know, you look at the purse structure, $34,000 for maidens, and it makes it worthwhile. Looking also at the allowances, there's a horse you've got, Steve, in the seventh, right after the maiden race. You also have, I should mention, Hard Candy, another Candy ride. This one a Peter Blum homebred in that sixth race, but in the seventh, I don't see why Vice Versa isn't live at 8-1 in there.
Right, and he is kind of a small horse in stature, but big on the inside. I do like him at a mile. He's very handy, but I think he'll suit the way that Lone Star Park plays. You know, hopefully he's away from the gates cleanly, and he'll be very hard to run down. I was surprised by his morning light odds and would not expect him to get beaten the other than.
I love it. And I just, you know, I kind of was going through. This is a horse that you had for Peter Blum, and that was a Peter homebred, and that was claimed, actually, at Churchill last fall. And then you took him back weeks later, and you took him yourself.
Yes, you know, I spoke with Peter about it, and, you know, he's just very proud of his horses, and he liked the idea of me getting him back, and just he's a fun little horse to be around. I think he'll be around forever, and just what Mr. Blum breeds, you know, top quality racehorses that last.
Very nice. Well, the I just got a note from a listener who was hearkening back to your guarantee when we were talking last time, when you said that, and I'm going to forget who the horse was. You said she was going to lap him, and everybody went to town.
She won by a nose. It was Blue Moon Rise at Will Rogers.
That's
Downs,
it.
And she opened up into the stretch, and it was kind of funny. I spoke with Lane Luzzi, rode her for us that day. And I told him, she doesn't want to be hit, Lane. If you can win without hitting her, don't get yourself in trouble. But if you can win without hitting her, boy, he was tossing the reins at her about the last couple of jumps for her to hold on by a head.
Exactly right.
They sweated the last couple of jumps, but they still got to go cash the ticket.
That's exactly right. A couple of other names to bring up too, because in addition to what's going on, and you know, and you're running Lone Star, you probably got. I didn't look at Fair Meadows that started this week, but
to me, there is nothing running there right now. Will Rogers is closed, and they moved over to Fair Meadows. But with Lone Star opening and stuff, and we are, you know, Churchill running, we are getting back to some more activity there for a while. We were running a few up at Will Rogers because the only place going was Oaklawn at the time.
Sure.
For us.
Well, and Louisiana Downs as well, now underway. Let's talk about Churchill later in the week, because I want to ask about a firster for the Hyder family. And this was a $950,000 Saratoga yearling. This filly, thoughtfully, happens to be a half to Annual Report and Giant Payday stake winners. What do we know about her?
She's a quality filly. I mean, she is absolute sweetheart, very mature, big, strong filly that expect good things from. Notice she was 7-5 on the morning line, so somebody sure liked how she worked.
You know, for a 47-1, we don't see too many of those. Usually we see 49.
From a handicapping angle, the gate works at Keeneland out of the dog leg are traditionally faster, you know, less of a turn. So your gate works from Keeneland are quicker than anywhere I've trained.
Interesting. I'd appreciate that. How many do you have at Keeneland versus the Churchill Barns?
That's a good question. We have 48. They're holding their hand on our head like they need them stalls in case they quarantine breaks out to the rest of the world or something. Never seen a place like empty stalls like Keeneland does.
Steve, you've got an MTO at Churchill as well on Thursday by the name of Irrepressible. This is for Phoenix, Into Mischief, and she's MTO. What about her development?
We're going to get rain. A couple days ago, our chances of rain were a little higher for Thursday than that it appeared this morning. But she's a filly that's matured nicely. Gorgeous filly, good mover. Just like I said, I think Phoenix will be rewarded for their patience on waiting on this filly this year.
Well, you've also been, very careful with Chestertown, the $2 million tappet out of Artemis Agritera. And, of course, this is West Point. Then the Bromans came back in, tried the Louisiana Derby, didn't run badly, brought back to New York now, and the state bred gets a chance against his friends.
I obviously, we're well-intended in this spot, like his chances, and he's entered in there aiming at getting some confidence in him. Tremendous amount of talent, working on a little bit of focus with him, but I think this is a stepping stone back into the stakes ranks.
Given his dam, and of course Mike Hushin with Artemis Agritera, given her predilection, for one turn, 7/8, one turn mile, kind of configuration. What's your feeling as he matures? Does he want to go two turns, or is this a great scenario for him, the one turn mile in a 16?
Right. We're familiar with her, late in her 2-year-old, how quick she was as early 3-year-old filly. She left the gates and took it right to him. I think that he's going to develop into a horse, the further the better. He's physically, he is just, there's so much of him that I believe that with time he'll fill into this gorgeous frame and just be stronger. And the further we go, the better he'll be.
Well, patience then again is going to be the watchword. And meanwhile, a couple of quick 2-year-old hits. Casadero, a first out winner, as well as Cowan and Cantheros. There's Hill and Dale again, and this is a Hill and Dale bred colt. Talk about your early 2-year-old success.
That's the one I need to be able to ask the listeners, the handicappers, the questions on that one. Cowan and Casadero breeze together every set. They're obviously very mature, very forward horses. Cowan opened up when we walked into the paddock. I think he was 3-5 or 4-5, and got the job done. The week later, Casadero is in. If anything, you would have thought that would have given that work line confidence, and he pays $20. So I'm having a little trouble following our handicappers on that one.
And it's funny because I heard somebody, it might have been on the broadcast, talk about the fact that they had worked together and that came up. And yet, for whatever reason, but in the meantime, not only does does the Street Sense colt win? This is a Stone Street homebred. I mean, another one was like a snowball downhill.
I'm just the fortunate guy that gets sent those horses. That horse has been as easy, straightforward. Every day is a good day. Capable of doing what you ask him to do. And nice to get to run horses like that.
Wow, Steve, so much going on, and with the racing rebooted for the second half of the year, obviously the barn is going to be a force everywhere. We'll look forward to a bunch of starts, and we'll catch up again soon. I appreciate this visit.
All right, thank you.
Steve Asmussen, and obviously with this, with his team, you could spend another 20 minutes, but I, had him here. for 25 minutes. Let's, Case, might as well stay rather than take the break and get behind. Let's reach for Ian Wilkes, and we'll get Ian Wilkes in here, and we'll talk about Ian's success. Yes, we're associated with Hill and Dale, but boy, everywhere you look, the last several weeks, there's been And I had forgotten that Cowan was a Hillendale bred. The Hollingbrots and Sol Cumin with Batiket and Spendthrift partnered in on Cowan, who was just $185,000 as a Keeneland yearling out of the Smart Strike mare Temper's Flair. And, of course, Cazadero, a Street Sense colt. And speaking of Street Sense, who's on the other end of the phone and somebody who put his hands on Street Sense many, many times? Ian Wilkes, good morning.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. You know, there's a fun question. When you see Street Senses out there and other, you know, sons and daughters of horses that you had a hand in and you trained, other than saying I wish that one was in my barn, what's it feel like to see, you know, your influence on the breed and on the game in that regard?
Well, you've just got to be proud of him. You know, he stepped it up. He did it on the racetrack, and now he's doing it in the breeding shed. And you've got to be proud of him.
Well, you know, you get a lot of homebreds, and when you go to sales, though, and you have the opportunity to see, you know, a Street Sense, how much do you look for? You know, the physical properties and the things that you saw in him, you know, when you're looking at the offspring.
You do. You often see a lot of him in there. You'll see that a lot. His head really dominates there. You know, he throws that part. And then probably the better Street Sense are probably ones with a little bit more leg than the shorter, squattier ones. They seem to be the ones that can run more.
Hmm. Well, those that are looking at Street Senses right now, about 15 minutes away from the start of the OBS sale. And in fact, I got the catalog. Now that I said that, Ian, I'm going to have to do this, and I'm going to have to look and see. There's a lot of Street Senses actually that are in the sale. You're looking at, well, those two are out, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Holy cow! There's a good 12 or 13.
Wow.
So we'll be watching. The well represented at OBS this week. So all right. So those of you just that were listening, you got a big hint. Look for the leggy ones. Well, Ian, speaking of leggy, four graces on Saturday in the Dogwood, the Grade 3. Volatile. People were probably still talking about the Aristides winner. We just talked to Steve Asmussen. But talk about four graces, because she was terrific.
Yes, he was. The first Steve's horse was ultra impressive, wasn't he? Volatile. He was some kind of impressive. That was jaw dropping performance there. But now I'm very proud of my filly. She's done everything what I thought she could do. She's just getting better and better. You know, and I go back to her second start, Steve. I was shocked that I got beat. I was, you know, just devastated that I got beat. Come to find out, she displaced on me that day, and we did the myectomy on her, and she's been good since. Yeah, and that's
well.
She's always trained good, this filly. Always done things well.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm trying to remember what was it. We were at Gulfstream, and you would. You said the same kind of thing about getting beat, and that was in a stake, and then you came back, and this is probably, what, three winters ago. Who am I thinking of?
Billy that went on and ran in the Oaks, Salty.
And
we sold her after that, and Mark Cassie got her and ran in the Oaks.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you, because you had been, you know, you said the same thing. Can't believe she got beat last time, and came back and then won. You know, the myectomy. You know, it's funny because it's one of those procedures that, you know, you don't really know until they go back out there, Ian, you know, yeah. if it's gonna work.
Yeah, you're true, because even though the filly had trained well and coming to her third race here, her first race, the allowance at Churchill, she even coming to the paddock a little apprehensive, not a normal thing. She was a little apprehensive. Even going to the gate, she was a little apprehensive. And even in the race, you know, you could just watch her. She sort of didn't trust herself. And then finally, the last little bit, she went on and beat Bill Mott's horse, I can't remember its name, and beat her, by a length and a half. But at the top of the stretch, she wasn't going to get to her. But then she dug in and she said, "Oh wow, I can do this." And then I come into the paddock in the Dogwood the other day. I had a better filly. She stood, you know, she was calm. She was very good. She was better in the gates. Everything was better overall. So she's starting to trust herself again.
Well, and for those that actually, today's Tuesday, I could probably get a hold of Dr. Allday, and I can't remember the last time we had a myectomy conversation, but you know, the flap, the dorsal flap that blocks the airway, and it, you know, all of a sudden the horses are gasping for air, and so that, you know, that flap is removed, and until they regain their confidence that they're not gonna, you know, they're not gonna have the same thing happen, and then once they're, you know, once they know, okay, I can breathe, you know, off they'll go. Winning this and Julian aboard, this is you know, the Withams, speaking of homebreds, 3-year-old season, and you know, 7/8. What you know? What do you think? Are we going to see her Saratoga? Are we going to see her in New York before that?
Probably. I'll probably look at Keeneland. They've got that 5-day meet. I think that they've got the Beaumont at Keeneland, and I think it's maybe run around the 11th of July.
Nice.
And possibly, you know, well, I'll take it one race at a time. I'm definitely going to keep her one turn. I won't stretch her out, but I don't think, as Mrs. Whittam believes, and I agree with her. She's thrown back to her granddam, Madame Pandit, who was a really good sprinter, and I think that's what we're seeing because she's a majestic perfection. So I think we'll probably end up just staying short with this filly and concentrate on races like that. And I'll have to see where the, you know, you always got to look at the test, see where that falls, you know, when the,
yes,
when's that run. And that's always a nice race.
Absolutely. And, you know, this on paper, this, you know, this was a nice field. Obviously, you know, Edgeway for John Sadler and Ain't No Elmers. You had the horse of Cherie, DeVoe's Bareness. Ain't No Elmers kind of chased four graces. And even though the race, you know, it's interesting, the race did not come back particularly fast, Ian. 87 Buyer. But the way, visually, the way it was run, you know, it looked like she pretty much ran those that were chasing. She kind of ran them off their feet. You know, there was Ain't No Elmers was sitting second. Magic Dance as well, you know, was trying to keep pace, and they fell away.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I liked, because we were really committed from the two-hole. We had to go a little bit, let her run her race and go. And I actually thought the pace, you know, 22-1 is pretty quick. But I actually thought it may be just a little bit swifter, because I thought there were some fillies, some fast fillies in there. And she was doing it quite easy up there, and Julian was sitting quietly on her, and she was just close on. And when she was able to leave the other fillies, they left, and Sadler's filly come on the outside of her. I was very impressed the way, and then she was able to keep going and fought off her and finished it out strong. So I was very happy and very, you know, very pleased with her effort.
Four graces, and we'll look. I didn't even realize they were. You know, I was concentrating with the Keeneland meet with the that stakes day. I didn't even realize they were running a Beaumont. I didn't see the complete schedule. I just saw the Makers on Friday and the big 3 year old races going long. You know, for the boys and girls. So, although they're giving away 2.something million, so. So some people are gonna get their Julep Cup as it turns out. Those owners that were counting on some Keeneland, the Keeneland experience. They're not done yet. They're gonna get a couple of shots.
Yeah, it's been a strange year, hasn't it? It's very different. We've just got to adapt. Yeah.
Exactly right. Well, a couple of, in addition to Four Graces, let's hit on a couple of other successes so far at Churchill. And, of course, earlier in the day, too, we should mention Gentle Ruler, who we've talked about. That was a thriller, and it came through at a short price. Chris on board, Chris Landeros, and Gentle Ruler, that was earlier on the – it was early in the day.
Yeah, boy, Chris has got a good rapport going with that filly. You know, they just love each other, they trust each other. But boy, Brandon's filly, the Godolphin filly, ran a tremendous race. We had to really run to beat her. But boy, this filly's honest as days long. I think she's getting better. I think she's improving. It's just good to see her come back as a 5 year old and show that will to win. And that's what I like to see. And then now with some more tracks opening up, hopefully we can get into a little bit of a rhythm with her, because it's been a bit of a stop-start with a mile and a half, mile and three-eighths filly on the grass. There hasn't been any flow with it because the Kiatana got cancelled, the Bewitched is gone from Keeneland. So I'm not 100% sure where I'm going to go yet. I'm hoping Delaware opens up. You know, they got the race we won last year, and maybe I'll go back to Saratoga with her, you know, because I want to give her a shot against some better horses to see if she can step up and be a Breeders' Cup filly this year.
Nice. And, you know, one aspect of her progress, you know, now a 5 year old, and she was a late foal. She was a May foal. And so now that she's fully mature, you got the complete package to work with.
Yeah. She's just maturing. You know, she was very quirky early on in her career. You know, she was not the easiest filly to handle, to be around, but now she's getting it together. You know, she's very easy to manage now.
Want to ask you, too, about Counter Offer from the other day. And this is a four-year-old gelding that seems to be getting better and better and better with racing and may not have reached the top yet with this one.
Yeah, I agree. That was great. We had a big downpour just before, and he just circled the field, and that track come up pretty wet after that downpour, and he just revved. Relished the going, but he's a horse I'm actually, you know, really want to stretch this horse out to a mile and a half too, because I think he may really like it. He ran it once and got in a little bit of trouble last year, and then we got hurt and we were on the sidelines, and now he's come back, and he's not a big horse, but he's honest as days long. He tries hard, and I think he may just improve with some more distance, more ground, and he proved he can run in soft or firm going.
Feels like I'm just looking even at figures, actually. Feels like a horse that, you know, as he's doing this, and he's one of these horses that, you know, took four starts to break his maiden, then, you know, you tried him in some stake company and a bunch of tries at the allowance. I like horses like this that, you know, they might take him a couple of starts to clear each condition, but usually they're marching toward something, you know, something nice. And isn't this a horse that should take to Kentucky Downs?
Well, definitely. I think he will, you know, and that's, yeah, I wouldn't disagree there.
He was, this is, it seems, I'll tell you, it seems like a nice, nice purchase too. $80,000 as a Keeneland yearling, six columns. And, you know, with that win, this was an $80,000 purse. So he's made $120,000, give or take. And, keep an eye on Counter Offer. I also got to ask you, Ian, about the other day. Dark Web came close, came out of Tampa, and just the toughest beat yet. But Dark Web looks like he's headed in the right direction.
Yeah, boy, he's consistent. You know, he run too good to lose. You know, that's a shame that he got beat. It was just a winning race and just got beat. But I guess Brandon got even with me. I beat him the day before with Gentle Ruler ahead, and he got me a nose the next day. So I guess he got the last laugh on me.
Yeah, and, you know, the horse is the most important part of this. I mean, he'll break his maiden along the way, but... you know, the horses seem to be running well. I mean, Bourbon Resolution got beat by, I don't think anybody will begrudge Danny Pites winning races. Al-Katam, that was part of the late double for Dan Pites. You know, but Bourbon Resolution, you know, ran well. There just was no getting to the winner.
Yeah, you know, that's great for Danny, you know, great person, you know, good horseman, you know, that was great. I actually thought I had him at the top of the stretch. I thought I'm going to get him, you know, but that horse dug in, and Danny's horse run tough, ran a really good race, and got to give him all the kudos, you know, for hanging on and winning. But I was proud of my horse. I thought coming his second race off a layoff, going two turns, I thought he's getting back into form, just starting to round back into some really nice form, and I think we could have a fun late part of the year with that horse.
Excellent. Who was it that Bourbon Resolution just came up, actually? Came up. Did he beat? Who did he beat, Ian? I think it was just. I just saw. I just saw him. Maybe not with the bourbons. You know what? The bourbons are. There's so many of these bourbon horses.
You may be thinking of, because I was joking with Steve Asmussen the other day. I said, Steve, because Bourbon Calling beat Volatile.
There you go.
Second race.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you. I knew there
were. How
there.
In the world did you? How did I ever beat you in that race? Because I was amazed. Yeah, and but no, Bourbon Calling. I caught him on the right day. You know, but that horse has really got good. And my horse is he's a consistent horse. The Bourbon Calling. You know, he made $200,000 last year. Ran a good race the other day, just getting back into form, and we should have a fun last part with him as well.
Mm-hmm. I knew that earlier in the morning I had seen a bourbon name, and so thank you. I'm glad it came up. Let's look ahead too, Ian, to a couple of starters. They actually got two each on Thursday and Friday at Churchill. A couple of maidens that are looking for wins. Let's talk about the maidens first. Tizara on Thursday, and then Distorted Moon on Friday.
Yeah. Tizahara, she's ultra consistent. I freshened her up just a little bit after that last race. She ran three quick races in a row at Gulfstream, and I've taken the blinkers off her. I just thought I didn't quite relax enough in the middle stages of her last race, so I took the blinkers off her for this start, and she's trained well. I'm very pleased the way she's doing, and hopefully we can get that maiden broke and move on with her. And then Distorted Moon, he's on the alsos. You know, I'm going to need some scratches for him to get in.
Well, and as it happens, that ninth race, we talked to Steve about he was trying to see if it would rain off, but Tessara for Shadow Facts, modest yearling purchase, bred by Calumet, a raison d'etat filly. She's a four-year-old, boy, this is one of those horses that you want to see her break the maiden because she's come close. She's had three placements and six starts. She's earned almost $30,000, so she's ahead of the game. But she'll get over the top. You can see that she's close.
Yeah, she is. She's ultra consistent. I'm very pleased the way she's been training. So I think she should account well for herself.
Let's talk too about the allowance tries. Same thing, allowance tries on both Thursday and Friday. Elusive Ruler. This is in the sixth, going a mile and a 16th on the grass, and one of Mary Lou's one of the Mary Lou runners.
Yeah, he's first time on the grass last start, and after being gelded. Ran really good. I thought it was a very strong effort. Has come back and trained soundly, done everything right, and I think it's a good spot for him to. I think there's a couple of nice horses in here. I think they're a well matched bunch of horses here, but we'll see where he needs to step up a little bit and be. I think he'll be competitive in there.
Elusive Ruler, it took the move to the grass, an Empire Maker out of the elusive quality mare, Elusive Bird, and elusive elusive is the theme, because Elusive Mischief goes as well on Friday.
Yeah, I've got to be careful when I enter these horses. I don't enter the
exactly.
Wrong yeah. but no, you got to like Elusive Mischief. He's a Virginia bred. He's every year he's won a Virginia bred stake. So he's been fun. He's been a fun horse for us. This spot, you know, we'll see if he can. Early on, he wanted to show a little more speed, but I think he's a better horse just sitting four or five lengths off of him, off the speed, and he does have a nice turn of foot to finish, and I think that's his strength. I think I was taking him out of his strength when I was putting him in the race a little too much, and this will set him up, and we'll look to the Virginia bred races again this year.
Nice, and of course Colonial getting ready for their season, coming up during the summer, and we'll talk to Jill Byrne, I would think, pretty soon. And I should mention there is the Middleburg Jump Races. On Saturday, as things get going in Virginia. This is Bob Lothenback, and we talked, actually, speaking of Lothenback, we talked last week. Was very pleased, of course, for Neil Pessin, and Bell's the One.
That was great. You know, that was great for Bob, for Neil, the whole team there. You know, we cheer for each other. I'm so happy that she got the job done there. She's been a good filly for Neil, and he's done a great job with her.
Absolutely, and got a little bit of a pace to chase, and she just mowed him down. I mean, that was pretty impressive. Let me also ask before we go about a couple of stake runners. Princess Causeway coming out of that Winning Colors.
Yeah, she come out fine. I need to improve a little bit. I might give her another shot again in the Madison, because I actually think she's a little better at 7 furlongs. The 6 may be just a fraction short for her, and I want to stay in a little bit of a rhythm. I've chopped and changed her races around a little bit. I've gone short, I've gone long, I've been on the grass. You know, I just want to give her a chance to see if she can help me and get better in that spot, because I do think she's very talented. She's a good filly, but probably a little further, like 7/8, what might be a little bit more into her wheelhouse. But I got to find out if she's good enough to beat, you know, to match Bell's the One, you know, horses like that, and Brad's filly and Steve's filly. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm glad I asked. Ready to give her a, you know, give her a, another shot. You also Street Ready. You tried to give her another stake try in the War Chant. Some thoughts coming out of that effort.
Yeah, he didn't run bad. You know, he ran good. I thought he might have been a little bit closer in the race. That's what he likes to do. He likes to run free. He's not a horse that likes to be covered up. He wants to run free, and that's what made that allowance impressive for him to start before. He's eight wide, but there's nothing. Chris couldn't do anything because that's, you have to ride that horse that way, because if you take him back and take a hold of him, he doesn't like it. And he's a big, strong horse, still learning, still getting it together. I'm not sure, but I know there's a race coming up at Churchill on the 20th, another stake race, but I'm not sure if I'm going to go in that one or wait for the next one. I'm just going to watch him train and see how he does.
Similarly, I want to ask you about the three-year-old that we took an interest in. Let me know, Ian, and, you know, it feels like you know that there's talent there, and he certainly, as a two-year-old, you know, showed quality. What's going on with him?
Well, I've ran him on the grass twice, and he ran fourth behind Street Ready, and he got in a little bit of trouble there, but ran really good. Didn't get a real chance to run. And then last start, it was just a brutal trip, a funny run race. I was laying perfect, and I get shuffled back to second last at the quarter pole, and I come running down the outside. So we didn't get a chance to see what this horse can do or anything, and I want to run him back on the grass because I think he really likes it, but he just hadn't had a chance to run, you know, and that's racing, you know, that's why they run races, but we just never got a chance to see what he can really do. And so I'll give him another shot in allowance coming up at Churchill.
Excellent. And last one to ask about, and happens to be a Virginia bred as well. We've been waiting, and of course, pandemic timeout had everybody mostly on hold. But Urban Fairy Tale, something tells me people should be aware, and I'm curious what the plan is there.
Yeah, I had her in down in Florida. I just didn't. I think the filly's going to run any distance I want, but coming off that race, I just did not want to run a mile and an eighth, so I got her in and reined off the grass, and so I scratched her, and I'm trying to get back in an allowance at Churchill here with her. I like this filly. I think this filly's got some serious talent, and she'll definitely be pointed to if there's a Virginia bred race. I don't know if there is one for three-year-olds. I'm not sure, but I do think she's got some serious talent, this filly, and she's going to be a fun filly going down the road.
Well, they're the Commonwealth Derby and the Virginia Oaks, and that's a good question. I haven't looked at the Colonial. We'll look at the Colonial Stake, and we'll get back to you. Ian, I'm glad I asked, because that was a nice maiden win, and there's obviously some talent there. So good to get an update on her, and so much more. A very, you know, very nice when you win the Grade 3 Dogwood, and plenty more to look forward to from Four Graces and everything else in the barn. The babies, the grandbabies, are all good.
Yeah, doing good. They're both walking. It's fun, you know. And you know that now, don't you? Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I do. It is. Tina's there. And, you know, I also imagine that for Tracy, it's been a fairly, you know, I suppose that the owners are just starting to trickle back into Churchill, right? So so she and Vicky starting to deal with, you know, with some of those things again.
Vicky is, but Tracy's still on the bench because there's no guest services. There's no fans.
Okay.
Does the guest service part of it. And so she's still on the bench. She hasn't been called up yet, so she's waiting.
Well, I hope you put a rake in her hand and keep her busy on the shed.
No. Well, she comes and rides a pony in the morning, so that's good. But then, but the problem is, Steve, she's finding too many odd jobs at home.
You don't have to tell me. Tina's actually taking care of the grandbaby Mondays through Wednesdays the next several weeks. So I'm on my own for a couple of days. But yeah, this has been a new experience for a lot of spouses have been required to do some things that I don't mind. I'm happy to help around the house somewhat. You know, just space them out. They don't. I don't need one daily. I don't need an assignment every single day.
I think lately I've had one daily. There's been an odd job. Fix this and put something up. And she told me last night. She said, "I got one more for you. So I've got to put up a fan. So I have to put in a new fan for her."
Unbelievable. Now, this pandemic has taken its toll on everybody in different ways. Ian, thanks so much. A lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Okay, mate. Yeah, always enjoyed it.
Ian Wilkes, everybody, and a hat full of allowance horses knocking on the door, some stake horses that are biding their time, waiting for assignments, and then the win from Four Graces, the Majestic Perfection Filly, winning the Dogwood. Let's take time out, a little past the top of the hour, 15 into hour two, and when we come back, Andrew Offerman on the doorstep of Canterbury's season. Starts tomorrow. The 10% pick five that players are going to respond to. It's a natural. Andrew Offerman next.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success.
Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.